Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Meet the Movie Press. Roundtable movie news and commentary from the industry's premier film journalists.
Hello and welcome to Meet the Movie Press on Friday. It is September 18th? 17th? I have no idea anymore. It's early, and I am Mark Riley, editor-in-chief of schmoesknow.com, and guess who is back? Say it. Say it.
Jeff Snyder, film reporter, therap.com.
That is awesome. It's so good to have you back, dude. You were at TIFF, the Toronto International Film Festival, for 2015.
Yeah.
I was so jealous. I heard so much coming out of there that the movies were awesome. And I particularly am interested in Demolition because you were raving about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about all that in more as the show goes on. But absolutely. Yeah, Toronto in general was a pretty good week.
Yeah.
Saw some good movies, saw some bad, bound to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Interviewed some cool celebrities in our video studio.
Yeah.
Hopefully you guys get a chance to watch those because some of them are pretty entertaining. But yeah, Mark.
Yeah,
it
good
was
stuff.
It was a good week.
I was very jealous of you because that it looks so much fun. I'm jealous of anybody that gets to go and actually cover these huge film festivals and see these awesome movies and know what to expect coming out in the fall or for Oscar season or whatever. Did you see by any chance The Girl in the Photograph?
I did.
What'd you think? You can be honest.
I thought it wasn't very good.
Okay. Okay.
I really wanted to go with it, and I liked the third act.
Okay.
And Cal Penn was funny, but it just wasn't original enough.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it just wasn't like explained.
I was looking forward to that. I mean, and I wanted your opinion, and your frank opinion, because I'm sure, like, I know Nick Simon, the director, and the writer director, and
we
Oz
interviewed
Perkins.
Him. I mean, very, very nice guys.
He's
I interviewed
such a
both
great
of
guy.
Them.
He's such a great guy, and I was just interested because Wes Craven mentored him and produced this with him before he passed. So, but that happens.
Yeah, I mean, it was a disappointment. It was just kind of generic.
Yeah. On the flip side of that, Oz Perkins, I hear, with February was...
I didn't get a chance to see February, and yes, I heard good things as well. I mean, I heard some not-so-good things, too, but on the whole, I'm excited to see that. A24 picked it up. They have really good taste.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it sounds like February worked at least better than Girl in the Photographs.
Right. Well, I like who's behind it, Brian Bertino and his production company, and again, one of my buddies, Chris Armagita, is the associate producer on it, and he was just...
Well, I like that it sounded like a midnight movie, but it was actually in the Vanguard section.
Oh, okay.
Because it was just so artfully done.
Nice. I can't wait for that. Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Kind of like The Witch, almost.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you're back, and you were still dropping scoops out there, weren't you? You were still kind of... Or was it just all Toronto Film Festival?
It wasn't really the focus, but I mean, we were fortunate that I got Rachel McAdams to confirm her involvement in Doctor Strange.
Let's start right there.
All right.
Well done, sir. Actually, a Doctor Strange scoop that panned out this time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I tweeted a couple weeks ago that I'd heard that it was going to... work out, and then I think people started hearing rumblings that maybe it wasn't, that maybe another project had come up.
Okay.
And I don't want to name that other project yet.
Okay.
But it was something that I asked Rachel about before we started, you know, rolling camera on our interview.
Yeah.
I was just like, hey, I don't want to put you on the spot when the camera's rolling. Let me just ask you this now. Are you going to do, you know, movie X?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, no, you know, I'd heard that about me, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
Okay.
And I had sort of prefaced the interview by being like, listen, I'm not going to be one of those guys who asks you about Doctor Strange. I'm sure you're getting that in every interview now.
Yeah.
It's not, like, on my agenda today.
Okay.
So, you know, we had a great chat about Spotlight, which is excellent.
Uh-huh.
And she's really, really good in it.
Yeah.
And then when I asked everyone else, and, you know, you can see the video clip online, what's next? She volunteered the information. She was like, I'm going to go do Doctor Strange next.
That's great.
She didn't have to say that.
Yep, that's great.
So maybe, you know, just there's something about this face that makes celebrities want to, you know.
You're very calming. You're a calming presence.
Reveal their darkest secrets.
I understand.
So,
great.
So, yeah, like I immediately, as soon as the interview was over, phoned it in and tweeted it out because, you know, I don't know how quickly she's going to go on to the next video interview
right,
and talk about it. So, of course, her people kind ran up to me after, and they were like, oh my God, she didn't know, you know, she's not supposed to say that. Can you just hold off on reporting? And I was like, yeah, we have it on video.
Yeah.
I really can't. I'm sorry. I'll call Marvel and give them a heads up.
Yeah, it's kind of out there. Well, that's cool. And I'm so glad
exactly.
she's doing it.
It was rumored. It was just, it's nice to hear it from her.
Yeah. I'm excited because I love Rachel McAdams. I am so Doctor Strange continues to be the most interesting Marvel movie for me coming up.
I'm really psyched at how it's shaping up.
Yeah,
Scott Derrickson directing from a script by John Spates. Right.
Yep.
Great John cast.
It's great.
Yeah. Tilda, Chiwetel, Benedict.
I know.
And Mads.
Mads. Oh, they're killing it with this cast.
And I don't know what the character is for Rachel. I asked her that, but she wouldn't budge. So I guess my face isn't that.
Yeah, well,
nice.
I think that's where she's going to be like locked shut because it's probably I don't know. But and again, I can't even speculate because I know nothing of the Doctor Strange comics. So maybe Matt Key out there listening, who hosts Marvel movie the Marvel movie news show on Popcorn Talk will. He probably has some
ideas. It's another win for Marvel with her coming off of Spotlight and True Detective. So.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. So what else is out there? There's been some big stuff rumored. There's been some superhero talk. There's been some Star Wars talk. But I always like to let you lead the news because you're on the beat so much more than I am.
I don't know what – I mean, I was like – you know, my head was in Toronto clouds this week.
Right.
So what did you think stood out?
Well
– What do you want to start with? Gambit? Should we start with Gambit?
Yeah.
That's like a big deal.
Yeah, let's stay in Marvel land. Gambit – so I was bummed when Rupert Wyatt walked away. And I feel like there's actually they said it's scheduling, but I feel like there's some issues happening.
Yeah, scheduling with what
exactly?
I don't even understand. He was supposed to wrap this movie 2 months before what he would end up wrapping it.
Yeah.
Am I supposed to think that he was going into another project right then?
Thank you.
Like, what about, like, 6 months of post or
right?
It's just like who would do a gigantic movie like Gambit? And then not go, like, take a vacation or something.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
it's just going to jump into another project. It just sounded like bullshit.
Yeah. And it's leading up to him being the director, there was talk, and I think Elmi Yembe came on, or was it you? I'm remembering that people, like, Aronofsky was approached to do it.
Yes, Aronofsky, J.C. Chandor, people like that.
And Bennett Miller,
yep.
I believe.
Yep.
And they were all turning it down. Now, at the time, I thought I speculated or heard that was script issues. And then
And then there was a rumor. No, the script is great.
Right.
The script is so good.
Right. And then.
Guys, never believe those rumors.
Yeah, exactly.
Never believe a rumor that says the script is good.
Yeah. Or sometimes scheduling is the thing. But when you're putting these pieces together, and then what about Channing Tatum, like, not committing, and was that negotiation?
I mean, I think that maybe that was a part of the negotiation, but the point is, it was like, you know, he was prepared to walk. This wasn't like some movie where it's like, oh my God, I'm going to kill myself 40 years from now if I look back and someone else is playing Gambit.
Right. Like, yeah, he was willing to walk. Okay.
He was absolutely willing to walk.
So this
project is a mess. Let's fucking just admit it.
That's what I said. I said there's way too much smoke for there not to be this huge fire behind the scenes.
You don't walk away from like, oh, this could be a special comic book movie.
Yeah.
I don't care what the schedule is. Rupert Wyatt walked away because I'm sure Fox had second thoughts about the budget.
Right.
You know, or the script. Yeah, I mean, there were script problems, budget issues. I'm sure Channing Tatum is just like, how is he supposed to compare to all these DC and Marvel superheroes?
Uh-huh.
If they're not giving him the same toys to work with, so to speak.
That's a great point. And wouldn't, like, is this another Fantastic Four kind of thing before it even films? Is it like Fox going,
I don't know.
We're losing Hugh Jackman. We have to make this perfect.
There is clearly a problem. And Fox will say that there isn't because of how well X-Men runs.
Sure.
But there is clearly a problem on that lot with regards to superhero movies. But I think if you take a closer look at the credits, there's a guy who's gone, you know, who has escaped criticism.
Ooh,
if you will.
I want to know this.
And he has a big hit coming out because The Martian's going to be gigantic. But Simon Kinberg. How is Simon Kinberg not getting any blame for any of this stuff?
Ooh.
And it's because he's involved with Star Wars. And I don't think that the press wants to piss him off. But
okay.
Fantastic Four was a fucking disaster.
Yep.
He was behind that.
Yeah.
That was Simon Kinberg.
Yeah.
Gambit is shaping up to be a disaster.
Yeah.
That is also Simon Kinberg.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just saying, very suspicious that he has not gotten the criticism that he may be due.
Yeah.
And I can't even imagine Simon would argue against that. Like, and maybe it's because he's spread too thin and he can't focus his attention on, I don't know what it is, but mm-hmm. there are problems over in the Fox comic book universe as far as I'm concerned. And the, just the way that there was a statement that was prepared as soon as Rupert Wyatt left, that's getting ahead of the story. Yeah. THR alluded to a personal issue.
Okay.
I have no idea what that is.
I don't buy that. I see the script problems. I see it as script problems. I see it as Fox really trying to maybe it is Simon Kinberg, or there's so many cooks in the kitchen, I always sometimes think.
And Channing has a big influence, you know?
Sure, I'm sure. This is his
bigger than
passion
Ryan Reynolds
project.
Has on Deadpool, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because he
creatively, it's because him and Reed Carolyn are also producing,
right?
So I don't know. Who knows what the truth of the situation is? Just like with Fantastic Four,
mm-hmm.
but something stinks.
Do you think there's any kind of? I know Fox kind of released that statement that no, we're still moving forward. We're going to start shooting. Blah blah blah. Is there any chance, in your opinion, that's going to maybe get pushed a bit or not happen, at least in the near future?
Do I think that it could happen? Yes. I think I would not be surprised in the least.
Yeah, okay. I wouldn't either.
If they pump the brakes on that one, just because I don't see it being an essential movie.
Yeah. Then there's these rumors that I'm hearing. I didn't report on them, but I was reading something about Marvel then trying to kill some of the X-Men comics, in like they did with Fantastic Four. At mm-hmm. least that's what we heard. So is this? I'm wondering if it's all connected with their X universe and.
I hadn't read that. I mean, what is with Marvel just killing all these comics? Like, dude, this is why people love your characters,
right? Yeah, and it's also another very popular revenue stream,
right?
So I don't know why you would.
Why you would just turn that off to spite another studio?
Yeah. Well, are they that rich? Are they like, hey, we're sitting on a chair made of millions?
I don't know. I just know that yesterday, you know, the whole Gambit situation the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Did not add up.
Yeah.
And when I asked Rupert Wyatt's reps about it, they didn't get back to me.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
If it was really as simple as it looked.
Well, then how about this? So, moving from some X-Men universe to somebody that's been arguably the one who brought it back, Bryan Singer, doing 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Yeah, that was a nice little surprise.
That was cool.
What was it, his 50th birthday?
His 50th birthday, I don't know if you're...
It's funny, I don't even think of Bryan Singer as 50 years old.
I know, I don't either. He looks like he's 12 sometimes. but this is where I'm confused a bit, so I want to know. Is it the same project that David Fincher was doing over
no.
it? So
no,
it's just because it's 20,000 Leagues in the public domain.
Yeah, there were a couple of different 20,000 Leagues projects in development.
Yeah, one at Disney.
And I think this one is brand new.
Wow. So
and
competing.
It sounds like he developed it with the two writers who are credited on the screenplay because he has a story credit.
Okay. Wow. This is interesting.
I mean, I think that it's high time that someone make that movie again, 20,000 Leagues.
Yeah.
And why not Bryan Singer? Hell, it keeps him away from doing another X-Men movie. Like, I think that he needs to diversify a little bit, so I think it's probably good for everybody. I don't know which studio will end up making it. It'll probably end up being Fox, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think it's a safe bet. I agree with you. I'd love to see him. I know... Jack the Giant Killer?
Yeah.
Didn't do too well when he did.
Just even in concept, that never made sense to me.
I didn't,
conceptually.
Yeah. I wasn't into it. I didn't see it
either.
Who
was excited for a fucking Jack and the Beanstalk movie?
I wasn't.
This is the kind of movie, Fantastic Voyage, which Fox has also been developing, that's the kind of movie that's interesting that I'd
sure.
like to see.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's great. I wish you luck, Mr. Singer. Go kick some butt.
Yeah, I'm kind of
leagues.
Excited about that one now.
Yeah, so what else we got out there?
Pacific Rim 2.
Okay, I want to talk about that, yeah.
Indefinitely on hold.
Now, I think it also has a lot to do with this kind of shakeup with Legendary behind the scenes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's like a recent thing. I think I'd heard similar rumors months ago.
Right.
Because I'd heard that Universal was not happy with Krampus or Warcraft.
And Warcraft.
Yeah,
okay.
The THR story said Warcraft and the Great Wall.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Krampus looks good. So maybe Krampus. My guy was off on that. They just considered them problem movies from what I understand. And like, don't kid yourselves, folks. Warcraft is definitely... one of those
problems.
Yeah.
Oh,
I just like
Duncan Jones tweeted out, hey, they put us on the same release date as Jurassic World, so obviously we're doing something right. That's spin. That probably is a little bit of spin.
I mean, listen, dating is not necessarily indicative of quality.
Sure.
I mean, I think you can also bury a movie like Star Trek.
Right.
I feel like Star Trek got buried yesterday.
Oh, really?
It's coming a week after Ghostbusters, a week before Bourne. Like, you're going to have one weekend to make your money, kind of.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even...
And I feel like...
Talk about being buried. I had no idea.
And that's how you, I think, explain it, too. It's just like, oh, we had the wrong release date. Okay. I honestly think sometimes studios, like, self-sabotage in that way.
Yeah.
So that they can have something to blame what they may think is an inevitable disappointment.
So do you think they're looking at, like, dailies or a rough cut or an assembled cut, and they're like, oh, we don't like this, and so we're going... Then all of a sudden...
I think Paramount's always been nervous about the Star Trek franchise because it's never performed the way an elite franchise should.
Yeah. Is that... Do you think that's because of the how it the story was told? That, like,
I don't know what it... I mean, neither are good movies. You can't look at those movies and say, that's a good movie. So the first Star Trek was okay.
I enjoyed the hell out of the first one and the second one to a certain degree. But I've just heard from hardcore Star Trek fans that they're like, what the hell is it? That, no, this is not Star Trek.
What was good about Kirk and Spock in the first Star Trek? Eric Bana, all that stuff, that was all ridiculous.
No, I liked... what's his butt? Dredd. The guy who played Dredd. What's his name? God, help.
Dredd?
He played Dredd.
Who the fuck is Dredd?
Judge Dredd.
Oh, Carl Urban.
Thank you.
Oh.
Carl Urban.
On Star Trek, like Dredd.
No, he's Bones on Star Trek. Yes. I enjoyed the hell out of him in Star Trek.
The whole, no, listen, Star Trek is one. Extremely well cast.
Yes.
But story, like, I can barely remember the Star Trek. That is not a good movie.
Yeah,
that's like a two and a half star movie. It's okay. It's not bad.
Yeah,
that's not a good movie.
So
the movies haven't been done well, and that's why they're not performing like elite franchises.
Well, now we'll see how Justin Lin does it and Simon Pegg writing. You know, maybe we get something good this time. But yeah, I had no idea that there was a Star Trek announcement yesterday.
So, anyways, what were we talking about? How do we even get to that?
Pacific Rim 2.
Yeah. Okay. So Pacific Rim, they announced another example of a movie that they announced 2 years ago and gave a fucking date.
Right.
I'm shocked that anyone even thought we were going to get Pacific Rim 2. Pacific Rim is another shitty, terrible fucking movie.
Yeah, I didn't.
Terrible.
I liked it, but then I went on the main show and I was like, I just couldn't tell who was fighting who. Like,
you
don't
make sequels to this movie or to Tron or to any of these other fucking movies that you guys think are getting sequels.
No, I know. Like, the fans,
this is a smart move by Universal and Legendary.
Yeah, and I think, and we'll go into the story next. I want to talk to you about it. But
or Warner Brothers. I don't even know who put out Pacific Rim. It's fucking awful.
It was Warner Brothers, and then it got moved to Universal, and then, you know, it's... Now Guillermo del Toro comes out and says, oh, no, we're still working on it. Don't worry, I'm still working on it.
And they can work on it till their little heart's content. It's all about whether a studio wants to make your movie, and I don't think right now a studio does. And maybe that's because they're anticipating some not good news next month.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so about Pacific Rim or just about...
No... Can you connect the dots there? I can't say anything. I'm under a certain embargo.
Yeah. I just connected the dots.
You can go ahead and connect them on air
out loud?
If you want.
Okay, so Crimson Peak, huh?
Never heard of it. Never seen it.
Ooh, never seen it. Oh.
Never seen it.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I was looking forward to that. Good
luck with that one.
Okay, so... For all of you listening and watching out there on the internet machine, there's problems at Universal. Well, because they're coming off a big year, obviously.
Universal's having a great year. I just think that they're about to hit a little rough patch.
They're going to hit a rough patch, so it makes sense. I do think it makes sense. I saw a scene in Crimson Peak, and I was like, oh, that was kind of scary. Overall, I've been like, it just kind of looks like Haunted Mansion a little bit. Like, I'm not digging this stuff. I'm excited, and I'm not, I don't know.
Don't get me started, because I'll start saying things that I'm not allowed to say yet.
Okay. Well, why don't we...
Speaking of, like, rough patches, though, and Warner Brothers, it's obviously been a brutal year for them. And
yeah,
they have
really
high hopes for the fall with Black Mass and Creed.
Creed looks
And to
great.
A lesser extent, Point Break, I suppose.
Ooh.
But, man, Pan, Our Brand is Crisis.
Yeah.
Things aren't going to be turned around so quick.
Okay, Our Brand is Crisis?
Yeah, I saw that up in Toronto.
And it wasn't good?
No.
Okay. I heard it was, but maybe not.
You heard it wrong. Sandra Bullock's excellent. Mm-hmm. Sandra Bullock, I think, is deserving of another Oscar nomination, but the movie itself is kind of all over the place.
Okay.
Which is kind of, right in line with David Gordon Green.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't work.
And then what about, and so you said Pan. I mean, I read something on social media. I think it's one of my friends, and forgetting, but they're like, I don't care how many times you tell Peter Pan. Why are we still doing Peter Pan? Can we move on and do something more original? I like Joe Wright, and I loved Atonement. So I'm just like, just didn't work, huh?
Mark, you and I have very different tastes in movies. I am not a Joe Wright fan at all.
Okay.
I thought Atonement was severely overrated. I couldn't stand Anna Karenina.
I didn't see
and I'm very curious to see how he's going to make the leap to this kind of filmmaking.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with doing another Pan movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know, like, the way that they're going about it with, like, Hook is a good guy in this film.
Yeah, it's,
I mean, it's like, I guess I appreciate the different approach. We'll see if it actually works.
Sure.
But I think tracking wise, it's not looking so hot.
Oh yeah, I don't think it's, yeah, I could just tell from people talking, and there's like, it's not on the radar. But what is on the radar a lot are a couple scoops that came out this week, and I want to get your opinion on. One, we both agreed off air, and I know you're out there. I should have been on Twitter. One of my boys, whoever it might be, he said, aha, legitimate Tomb Raider news. And it's the same guy that has been wanting Tomb Raider news.
Legitimate. That's a good word.
This is, let me tell you something right now. This director's list, and I know Jeff agrees with me, is horseshit.
This is foul.
This is absolute horseshit. If anybody thinks that Kathryn Bigelow is the number one choice and is doing this, you're high. You're doing drugs somewhere under a bridge.
And she was the most likely name on that list because there's not a fucking chance in hell Mimi Leder is going to direct that movie. Dude, the tracking board is like very hit and miss.
Yeah.
You know, the trades see everything that the tracking board puts up and we look into it and we credit them when they're right, which is about 50% of the time.
Yeah.
The other 50% is so far off as if to come from another universe.
Yeah.
And if one of these three women end up directing Tomb Raider, I will do something ridiculous on the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do it. It's not going to happen, so we can shoot for the moon here.
I feel very safe. You can name just about whatever you want.
Yeah.
There are so many. I believe the report that says they want a female filmmaker on Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
And that would be great. That. But it's not the same female filmmakers that have been directing, you know, that have gotten these assignments over the last 20 years. There's so much young female talent in this town.
Right.
And so many female filmmakers that are on the precipice, like that you don't even know their names really.
Mm-hmm.
Ava DuVernay will have a better chance of directing the fucking Tomb Raider movie than any of those three women.
Yeah.
Jeff.
I'm with you.
If Kathryn Bigelow becomes the director of the new Tomb Raider movie, you have to cosplay as Tomb Raider.
Deal. I will dress up as Tomb Raider if that's what you guys want to see.
I think that's a great bet.
I don't think anyone wants to see it, but
I'm pretty sure Kathryn Bigelow is going to go do Triple Frontier.
Triple Frontier?
Which we had already, that had sort of been out there.
Okay.
She was developing it a while ago. I think she's going to end up getting Will Smith.
And she's been developing it. She's not.
She doesn't go take assignments based on fucking video games that have already been made into movies. Angelina Jolie will come back and direct this one before.
Yeah, that's
before any of the women on that list. It's absurd.
So
absurd list.
Okay, so we are going to bury that one because it is a bullshit story. But I want to go into tracking board because then they dropped, and I see all you guys here.
Booster Gold.
Yep, youtube.com/popcorntalknetwork. You're in the live chat right now. I see you. Jeremy Flores says, tracking board is so BS, no names behind the account. Okay. Thank you, Jeremy. It's
true. It's one guy, basically.
Yeah, so last night they came out, and I saw all of you tweeting me last night during the Schmoes No Main show, and I just didn't buy it right away. Booster Gold, Blue Beetle, team up, cop buddy movie kind of thing, set up at Warner Brothers in the DCU universe with Greg Berlanti producing. Is this true? Is this
Booster Gold movie true?
Okay.
In development.
Yeah.
Been holding that for a week or two.
Okay. There you go.
Is Berlanti directing? I don't necessarily know. I think that he's definitely producing.
Okay.
I don't think it's a given that he would direct. Who was it? Zach Penn?
I think they said Zach Penn.
I don't know about that. The Blue Beetle stuff does not sound right to me.
Okay. Yeah, you know, it sounded legit to me just in this. I read the report, and it was so specific.
Sure.
It kind of went into a lot
like
of stuff.
I think it's like a take. I think it's probably a take that someone pitched.
Okay.
But I don't think that that Blue Beetle is like a big part of that movie, if a part at all.
Yeah,
I don't know anything about Booster Gold. I've never heard of the character.
I actually know nothing. I know that, and just at least in the report, they're like, he's going to show up in Justice League and blah, blah, blah.
As far as the DC connection,
yeah,
don't know about that.
I just don't, the reason I don't buy it right away is that they have all these other characters to get to and they need to do them right. This seems like a side character. It's like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Like, we're going to develop their movie before Hamlet.
I mean, I'm just, you know, it's not even on the report itself or Tracking Board or any of these sites.
Right.
It's on the internet and the people listening to the show. Are you so desperate for news that you are willing to basically believe anyone who comes out with a rumor? Like,
there you go.
Like, listen, if Booster Gold was like a super legit project, don't you think the trades would have picked it up?
Yeah.
Like, we like traffic too, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, they need the traffic to go over there and pay some bills.
And if that had broken last night before I was like leaving the office, I might have like done some more digging and maybe you would have seen a report on the wrap. But no one else followed, and for good reason.
Yeah.
Because half the stuff in that story is fucking bullshit. And the sites that we're getting some of this stuff from, I can't tell you how many times I saw Den of Geek linked. And it's like, I don't care if these guys hate me going forward.
Sure.
Den of Geek was like pulling shit out of their ass this week. And all of a sudden, we're just like, every blog is like citing them and quoting them. Like, wait, what?
Is Den of Geek, what else did they drop? They just did,
they
was
did
it Mary
a
Poppins?
Mary Poppins thing.
Oh,
which,
yeah,
like,
Emily Blunt.
One of our reporters had heard or whatever, but like, I don't know if it's the certainty with which the report is framed, mm-hmm. but like, no. And if it was true, Disney would have no problem confirming. Emily mm-hmm. Blunt would have no problem confirming. A project like that doesn't get announced.
Right.
You know, Rob Marshall, whatever. And then it's cast 3 days later.
Yeah. Like, and I'm gonna follow some breadcrumbs in the forest here to the Candy Shack. when you think about it, Emily Blunt is one of the best actresses out there right now, and she's English. And so are they just going, hey, it's Emily Blunt, because that makes some casting sense with Disney and everything. But if you think about it, guys, follow the breadcrumbs with me, okay? What Jeff just said, they announced it like 3 days ago.
Right.
So they're working on it. I think maybe they're going, you know, in the process, they're like, oh, this person will be great. But nothing's
We'll
on
write
paper.
It with Emily Blunt in mind.
Sure. But there you go. There you go.
Like, Emily Blunt cast as Mary Poppins. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Whatever you say, buddy.
Yeah. And just to go back to Booster Gold real quick, Nerds for Hire, if you thought Guardians of the Galaxy was a stretch, shaking my head. You're right. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy, that could be argued that Booster Gold's the same thing. I just think DC's not in Marvel's position right now. Marvel could do Guardians of the Galaxy because they had this whole universe set up. I'm suggesting that they need to work on Batman, Superman, Aquaman, Flash. They have all those first.
And they are going to. Like, I don't know. People think that they see these stories and then, oh, there's going to be a movie next summer that's about Booster Gold. Like, no, there's not.
That's like years from now, if anything.
You won't even be alive when the Booster Gold movie hits, okay?
There you go.
You'll be taking your great-grandchildren to the fucking Booster Gold movie.
Yeah, and
people don't understand how the town works and development. Like, any character,
mm-hmm.
like, someone has the rights to that character and, you know, is kicking around the idea for a movie. Every single fucking character that you can possibly imagine.
Okay.
Right.
There you go. So, yeah, Tracking Board has been dropping these things, and so...
I just don't get why there's such thirst for every little comic book rumor, and you're just willing to believe anything because you want to either write it up or you're a fan of the property. Like, just fucking make a call.
Mm-hmm.
Vet the story on your own. I can't tell you how many, like, reports. I mean, even, like, you know, I love my Miami, but even some, like, the hot rumors on that stuff. Like, why don't you just make a call and try to confirm it, and then it's not a rumor?
Yeah, I'm starting to see there's a lot of traffic coming
my way. It's
getting
fucking crazy these days,
and
man.
There's a lot of, like, stuff like Superman, Man of Steel 2. I mean, we've been talking about, you know, George Miller doing this, and then now there's a rumor from Heroic Hollywood that Supergirl might be in it, Bizarro, and Brainiac, and as a Superman fan, I would love that. I would love to see that. But again, yeah, I'm just kind of holding back.
It's just like, come to a legit site, you know, with editors and higher standards, and see if your shit flies.
There you go.
Like, you know, whoever's dropping those scoops on Den and Geek, I don't even know who the writer is. Come to the rep. We'll pay you for a month trial.
There you go.
We'll see how many of your scoops get online.
I like that. Yeah, it's hard.
People just can put anything out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's my blog.
Yeah, Schmoes, no. We were kind of, you know, accused for that too. And I got really nervous to drop anything that I hadn't heard from really trusted sources. I mean, I've heard so much shit across the land that I could have run with. And I'm like, no, that just sounds weird. I like to think about it rationally sometimes without even looking to a source first. Just like thinking about the what's going on out there. And if somebody says, oh my God, you know, Emily Blunt's, you know, Mary Poppins, I'd be like, well, that was just announced yesterday.
That was quick.
That was quick.
Casting search.
So, yeah, I get what you're saying. So, guys, I know you're all out there and you're like, yes, let's go. Jay, keep going. Jeff, tell them.
No, but it's like, and listen, I'm not saying that the trades are fucking sacrosanct. Like,
right.
The trades are wrong and spin all the time. Mm-hmm. And I've been wrong before, believe me.
Yeah.
Look at Deadline's story on Hardcore and the bidding war out of Toronto for that title.
Okay.
So, you know, I got a tip about an hour before Fleming posted his original story, and it was that bidding was between Universal and Paramount.
Okay.
Low seven-figure MG and an 800-screen commitment or whatever.
Okay.
An hour later, it's on Deadline, and it's Paramount, Lionsgate, and Dimension.
Okay.
24 hours later, it's Universal, STX, and Lionsgate.
Okay.
Now, what happened to Paramount and Dimension? And
yeah,
if you know, and if Universal and STX were around now, where were they in yesterday's story?
Right.
Like, it's just fucking pixie dust. They're just reporting on fucking nonsense.
Yeah,
it's all an illusion. And even THR this morning with Equals.
Equals.
$16 million deal for Equals.
Is that a Toronto movie?
You would have to be insane to even believe that.
See, I don't. Yeah,
Equals
I didn't even hear it.
Equals is a Kristen Stewart, Nicholas Holt movie. It was well received in Venice. It was not well received in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
The budget was $16 million.
Mm-hmm.
And it is going to sell for low seven figures, not $16 million. They're like, well, if you add up, you know, the properties, the territories all over the world, 16 million.
Okay. That's a big number.
That are multiple deals. That is not a deal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, they're trying to make it like in the biggest deal of the Toronto International Festival, Equals is, you know, going to sell for 16 million. Like, it's going to sell for 3 million, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
This stuff
just seemed like a big number to me.
So listen, the trades are off too. I don't want people like question everything, but fucking question it for Christ's sake.
That's the moral of the story.
That is what journalists are supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I
don't just repeat these fucking rumors and then be like, oh, I don't know. He was wrong. We didn't report it. No, you did, because it's on your fucking site, whether there's a link to another site or not.
Right. No, I'm with you, man. You guys, I'm trying to keep up with your chat here in the live chat, and thank you for doing that. It's awesome. You guys are talking a lot of stuff. I do want to talk about this real quick. Transformers 5.
Ooh.
And Deadline report. It was Deadline again reporting that.
Were they reporting it, or were they just transcribing whatever Akiva and Paramount Michael Bay told them to write?
Okay, there you go. I believe that
really
more.
Was it really a report?
Yeah, I believe that more. And I went on my Riley rant last night on the main show. I did it in the article I covered. I said, I'm just tired of Transformers. I'm not going to really rant right now. I'm just tired of that. It is
as you should be.
It's a boring franchise. It brings nothing new to the table. I believe Michael Bay has been phoning it in since part two. I just want something to stop with
You're
that.
Not excited to see the metal guy hit the other metal guy?
Yeah.
And then the metal?
Yeah, just shit in my face fighting.
It's like a five-year-old just hitting...
That's exactly what it is. And to say that Mark Wahlberg is back and Michael Bay is coming back to direct and Akiva Goldsman, who hasn't, I'm sorry, I loved your earlier work, but there has been nothing that I've enjoyed of his lately.
Oh, God.
And this writer's room, I said it last night, why do you need fucking 10 people to come up with one goddamn Transformers
movie? That's what it felt
movie?
Like. It honestly felt like Akiva's like, I have no idea what to do with Transformers 5.
I think...
Let's create a writer's room to give me better ideas.
Who has a good idea?
We'll pay everyone in the room $1 million.
Right, for like two weeks of work.
I think Fleming mentioned that everyone got low seven figures.
And they're like, yeah,
so
they're
you're
like,
already
okay.
at 10 million on the screenplay for Transformers 5 alone.
Right.
We should just combine it with Pacific Rim 2 and get two shitty sequels out of it.
There you go.
I agree. Studios just need to start teaming up and splitting 50-50, you know?
Yeah, well, what's sad Holy is I get it. Transformers Age of Extinction, as Christian would say, it made $1.1 billion worldwide.
Thanks, China.
Yes, exactly. Exactly! Thank you, China! You brought us another shitty sequel. God! Like, why? Like, reboot it. I'm telling you right now, reboot the hell out of it. I'm fine with that. I'm against reboots. But bring it, if you're gonna do it, reboot it, get rid of everybody.
What was the Mark Wahlberg movie? Didn't that function as like a soft reboot?
Whatever.
Soft reboot. What a soft Hollywood term. It's a soft reboot.
Yeah, and they're still
so
making
soft.
It. And then the Ant-Man writer's doing the animated Cybertron prequel. It's
we
like,
need it. The Minions aren't enough. We need animated Transformers.
I guess. And I mean, at least bring back some of the old designs from
Actually,
the old TV
be,
show.
That would be great. Transformers vs. Minions.
I would watch that.
Yeah, sign me up for that one.
But so this writer's room, it's you hear shared universe thrown out there.
I love that they're like, well, you know, everyone they came up with all these ideas, and lo and behold, some of them didn't feel like they had enough to make a movie out of.
That's what's so funny, you guys.
Like,
seriously.
Maybe the universe wasn't as big as we thought.
Maybe. Go, you guys, seriously, go read the Deadline article.
Dude,
I don't. It's so funny. You can read between the lines in that article.
You can't read it with a straight face.
You can't. And it's like they pitched to Paramount, Michael Bay, and Steven Spielberg.
Spielberg thought five of the ideas were.
Didn't work.
Fit a movie.
Yeah, I. It just. Oh man, if you think Age of Extinction was bad, let me tell you something right now. Part five is going to be the worst of the bunch. I can almost guarantee it because of the process that they're doing here. And Michael Bay, do you think he's going to be back? I mean,
I'll put it this way: if Michael Bay's 13 hours works, if I were him, I would move on. I would stay far away from it.
I would too.
Like there, he has a real. Pan Gain was always like kind of a lark. I don't know. But,
yeah, I didn't like.
But 13 Pan Hours Gain. Looks good. I think it has real potential.
Yeah, it does look good.
And yeah, I think if it works, he should just go back to being Michael Bay when we fell in love with him at the beginning.
Yeah, and apparently Bad Boys 3 is coming soon, so maybe he can do that. Okay, Jeremy Flores, Optimus becomes more cynical and jaded with each new installment. It's very true. Optimus Prime in part
He's
4.
Hanging around humans.
It was like, I don't like the humans. I'm going to go to space. Get the fuck away from these guys. So anyways, guys, thank you for that. Yes, Kelvin Cruz, fuck Transformers. It's a waste of time to even mention it. Nerds for Hire, this was China's get back for the interview.
That wasn't China.
That wasn't China.
Okay, thank
but
you, Meet the Movie Press audience. A few other cool things this week.
Yeah, talk to me.
Elizabeth Banks is going to direct the new Charlie's Angels movie.
Yeah, I love Elizabeth Banks. I didn't
Who
see...
doesn't? She's just a ray of sunshine. What a delight.
She is a delight. I can't wait to
And good
to
for
see.
Her that she's making the leap from, Pitch Perfect 2 to this film.
Yeah, I think it works. I can't say that I'm jonesing for another Charlie's Angels movie. I definitely don't want to see, like, McG version back. I would love to see maybe a hard kind of spy thing.
I forget, it's been a while since I saw the Charlie's Angels movies. Were they set in the 70s?
No.
They were modern day.
They were modern day, and they were very Michael Bay-ish. A lot of exploding and, you know, girls hanging from
planes. It would be fun to do period for that.
I'm down with that. And I would even
Would Elizabeth Banks be in it? Would she be the new Bosley? Would they?
Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
With her feathered hair.
I would love maybe a version of like the Casino Royale reboot with Bond. You make it.
That'd be gritty.
Make it a little bit. You know,
we don't have enough dark gritty.
Maybe I'm just totally stuck in this world now.
No, it would be a different approach.
I'm just looking at the mirror image of it. McGee's version was just like popcorn and cotton candy.
It'll be tough to top the casting of the Charlie's Angels movies. I thought that they were very well cast.
I totally agree.
Cameron and Drew Barrymore and Lucy Liu.
Mm-hmm.
That's really part of it, is to try and find three women with that kind of chemistry.
Yeah, well, I'm interested in seeing
it. It'll be Jennifer Lawrence and Shailene Woodley and Hailee Steinfeld.
Yeah, I mean, who else is out there that we could do?
Anna Kendrick, Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence
and Amy Schumer
is on everybody's.
So, anyways, that was cool. Good for Lizzie Banks.
Mm-hmm. So
come a long way from being the barbecue sauce girl in Wet Hot American Summer.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's true.
There was all kinds of stuff. We got Woody Harrelson.
Mm-hmm.
Playing the villain in War, is it War for the Planet of the Apes? Is that the title?
I thought it was War of the Planet of the Apes.
I read War for the Planet of the
War
Apes.
War for the Planet of the Apes. I like that.
Like, that makes more sense grammatically.
And whatever the title is, if you put Woody Harrelson in anything, for Planet of the Apes,
he's awesome.
It's so great.
He's one of our best actors, and he's so underrated,
yeah.
I feel like, as an actor.
Mm-hmm. He is.
Like, everyone talked about McConaughey after True Detective.
See, and
like, Woody Harrelson was the best one on that show. Let's be very clear.
He was great. And, I mean, this is just one of those things. I mean, I love him in The Hunger Games. I wish they kind of got hit more of him, because his character in the books are just fantastic. And he's not really well represented in that franchise as much as I'd like. But, hey, sign me up. I mean, he's in War of the Planet of the Apes. Great. Done. I'm already going to see it, so, you know, now it's sugar candy on top.
Even in bad movies, Woody Harrelson's good, like Rampart.
Rampart? I never saw that.
He's like the cop.
Oh, yeah, I never saw that.
Racist cop. Oh, he's so good. People vs. Larry Flint's excellent.
Nice.
Man, love Woody Harrelson. Game for anything that he does.
Yeah, now, we didn't touch on this, really. We almost did with Pacific Rim, but Kong Skull Island, dropping hints with Godzilla 2, and then finishing out with a trilogy of them going out after each other. Is this what do you think of that?
There's now a trilogy.
That was the latest.
It's a whole trilogy of two monsters fighting each other.
They brought up.
That seems like a scene.
They dropped the trilogy idea, and you know what?
Oh, they dropped. Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, so and right. I'm in.
It's going to be what? Kong
Skull Island.
Right. Then Godzilla 2, and then a fight movie. Yeah, that's fine. That's a good plan for me.
It works, and the nerd in me is like, yes. I want to see it all.
Sure. That's it. And while Skull Island's cast is shaping up to be awesome.
Yep, it is.
Universal let that project go.
That's what's so interesting. It was a Thomas Tull over at Legendary. They didn't want to deal with him anymore, so he brought it back to Warner Brothers. You know, they're dropping in Monarch as the name that connects that universe.
Right.
Monarch was...
I love all these fucking acronyms. Monarch, Uncle, all these agencies that I'm supposed to keep track of. They all do the same thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, the geek in me is like,
IMF. Right. What does Bourne belong to?
Oh, I don't know.
Is it Blackwell, Treadstone?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
But what do you think? I mean, is this an obvious thing.
It's a smart idea, I think, to get those characters in a movie together. I mean.
Yeah. Transformers versus Godzilla versus King Kong. Yeah.
I mean, it's obvious who's going to win that fight, right?
Well, that's what all the geeks are saying, and I'm with you. I'm breaking it down in my head and going, King Kong is a lot smaller than Godzilla. But a lot of people are looking at Universal's Peter Jackson King Kong, and I'm hearing this. No, it's kind of like,
I love that people are like debating the size and stuff like that.
Oh yeah,
the size doesn't matter. It's whether it's just like, if Godzilla's going up against humans, the humans are going to win. Let me tell you who's going to win this movie. King Kong.
You think so?
Yes.
Like the 1965 version, Toho Studios?
I don't care if King Kong is the size of my pinky.
68.
He's going to win.
Really?
It's this is the foundation of every movie. It's David and Goliath.
Oh, I see. He's
the smaller one. He's going to win.
All right, guys, place your bets
King
now.
King Kong wins the movie that comes out 10 years from now.
Hey, you I like that. Who's directing Kong Skull Island again?
This is just basic screenwriting principles here.
Jeremy Ledger says, who's directing the Kong Skull Island again? I forget, too. It's
Jordan Voight Roberts.
No, that's right. Okay.
Which is I'm excited about. Elsewhere, Darren Aronofsky.
Yes.
Doing an Evel Knievel movie with Channing Tatum.
Yeah, that's right. That's good. That's fun.
Is it?
Yeah,
Why?
Look, because I love Darren Aronofsky. I love everything he does.
So, and you want him to go make an Evel Knievel movie?
If he's saying I want to make an Evel Knievel movie, then my thoughts go to The Wrestler for some reason. Maybe because it's sports and it's kind of that. But I just think, and Channing Tatum, I just think it could be interesting.
Listen, fair enough. I'm in a negative mood. So
that's okay.
You're right. It could be interesting. It always is with Darren. He is one of our just most incredible filmmakers.
That's why when you say Evel Knievel, but, I'm like,
you know,
okay.
I saw Johnny Knoxville's documentary recently. There's another documentary. It just feels like an awful lot of Evel Knievel. I know this movie is like years away.
Sure. Yeah, maybe. That's yeah. And was that documentary good?
It was.
I mean, I can't say that he's on my radar. I mean, yeah, when I was little, I would watch, but now I'm like, it's Darren Aronofsky is the thing that gets me excited about this movie.
Sure.
Just period. Now, whether it comes out and is awesome, like, The Wrestler is one of my favorites that he's done.
Amazing.
So, whether or not that happens, we'll see. But, hey, we almost went the whole show without talking about Star Wars, so I like that. You guys are in the chat room. Godzilla deserves the W.
Godzilla deserves the W.
No one
would root for a giant lizard. I mean, I guess he had some semblance of personality in the Gareth Edwards movie, but like King Kong has our hearts. Like we care about King Kong like a character.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. You know, if we're going to travel outside of like they can make Kong bigger because doesn't he climb the Empire State Building and die? Get shot down and
sure.
That's King Kong. That's the story of King Kong.
He's like got heart. He's going to keep getting back up after like Godzilla swats him. Like
he does have heart. You saw Kong
lives.
It would
be such the downer ending if Godzilla won that fight.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know which way I'm going yet. I mean, I just want to see a good story and I just want to see them pair up. I mean, somebody was it who said something about them actually working together?
I mean, that would be cool, too, a team-up movie.
Yeah, because, like, Mothra shows up or something. I'm all for it. Whatever the case is, you're talking about Godzilla meeting King Kong on the same screen with today's technology. Yeah, this geek is like, yeah, let's do it. I'm down. So,
I wanted to go back to Toronto.
I do, too, because we've had some chat here that they want to hear your Toronto stuff. So.
Okay, the Toronto stuff. So real quickly, I saw Spotlight before the festival. They were kind enough to show it to me.
Yeah.
Spotlight is truly excellent, guys.
I'm hearing it's the Oscar buzz already. Right?
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to be Open Road's best, first Best Picture nominee.
Okay.
The performances are awesome top to bottom. Like, it's just a really fascinating journalism procedural and seeing how, you know, those Boston Globe reporters put together that story. And then even when they thought they had it, their editor being like, this is good, but I want the bigger picture and I want the conspiracy and the cover-up.
Ooh, I like
so,
that.
That was fantastic. Demolition, the opening night film with Jake Gyllenhaal, is a very hard film to do justice to and describe.
Yeah.
And some people did not like it at all. And
really?
They thought they just called bullshit on it.
Mm.
I was incredibly moved, and I thought Jake was amazing. He continues his fantastic streak of performances. The kid in it, Judah Lewis, who is a finalist for Spider-Man, was wonderful. It felt like a special kind of movie.
Well, I'm on your train, at least from watching the trailer. I want to feel what you felt, because that trailer was so well done, for me at least, is in my opinion. It opens and it looks kind of like the usual, like, oh, he's a quirky guy, and then he drops, oh, because my wife died. And I was like,
the movie feels alive. It feels like it has a soul. It feels like something out of that you would have seen in the 70s.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed it. The Martian is excellent.
Yeah.
It's very good. It's very good.
Yeah, well, so you're saying it's very good. I've heard people just raving the shit out of that.
It's very entertaining. I think it's going to be a gigantic hit.
Yeah.
I think Legend just moved off of that date yesterday, off of October 2nd.
Right.
And for good reason. I mean, The Martian is going to steamroll. Everything in its path, I think, for okay. for a week or two, you know, who,
well,
who knows.
And Legend I'm hearing great things about, and so, is
really?
It good? Oh, yeah, no, that's
really?
What I've heard, yeah, I've heard good things.
Oh, I've heard
bad
definitely
things?
Not good things. I skipped it in Toronto.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, man, I mean, you gotta make tough decisions at a film festival, and
I was
really excited to see it, and then the buzz wasn't good out of, I think it was Venice, or wherever it debuted.
Oh, maybe I'm reading,
and
I don't know where
No, I followed it to Toronto. Hey, I heard very not good things.
All right. I was hoping for the best, because,
you know. The trailers never pop for me.
Yeah, I don't think. Oh yeah, no, I saw the trailer.
Even it just felt like the whole reason to see this movie is that there's two Tom Hardys.
Yeah,
there wasn't. And speaking of gangster movies that, you know, underwhelmed or whatever. I mean, Black Mass is good, but Black Mass is not what it could have been.
I am hearing this across the board.
Yeah,
that everybody's excited to see it, just from the trailers and Johnny Depp transformation. They see it and then it's like, yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, and they're just saying, yeah, Johnny Depp's great.
But it's not like, oh my god, you have to go see Black Mass.
This was my feeling with Mad Max Fury Road and Bring It On Internet. I was like, yeah, it's good. It's great. And people are like, fuck right. you, unfollow. And right. I'm like, look, it's fine.
My dad gets into town today, and he and my mom watched Mad Max a week or two ago.
Yeah, they liked it.
And they called me up after and said it was the worst movie they'd ever seen.
I go, I won't say that.
If you go on the internet... Most people would say it's the best film of the year.
Yes, people are saying that.
Most of the experts. I don't feel that way at all. I'm more in your camp of like good, not great. But back to Toronto.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp's very good. Joel Edgerton's really good in the film. But like, there's just not enough oomph to it. Like Scott Cooper, it's a workmanlike effort. Nothing really stands out.
Speaking of Edgerton, I finally saw The Gift.
How did you like it?
I loved it.
Yeah. Gift is so good, guys.
It is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll tell you what.
My parents love that one.
Written, directed brilliantly by Edgerton. This guy, I want his next movie now.
Yeah.
Like please start making more movies. This just, oh man. Get ready to feel
exactly.
comfortable.
It's very disturbing.
Oh,
definitely
God.
Recommend The Gift if it's still playing in a theater near you.
Yeah, I saw it at a very small Cineplex at like the Independent. So.
Back to Toronto real quick.
Sure.
The Midnight... I know we're like running out of time here.
Yeah, we can go a little over, right?
Green Room. The Midnight movies were pretty solid. Green Room is the Patrick Stewart Siege movie where he's playing
a
Nazi.
I really want to see that.
That one was the opening night of Midnight Madness and it rocked.
Oh, good.
Hardcore was awesome.
Yeah, that trailer, I'm sorry. Sorry,
guys,
it's like
hardcore. I mean, I can't. You haven't seen a feature film like this, I don't think.
No, because you haven't seen a trailer like
shot
that.
First person point of view based on the sort of viral video "Bad Motherfucker."
Yep.
And I had serious questions about whether it could sustain a feature length, you know, runtime and that. Would, you know, based on that concept, but it could. It was a ton of fun.
Yeah.
Wait until you see this title sequence, which is like James Bond title sequence directed by, like, you know, Hannibal Lecter. It's fucking insane.
Awesome.
Truth was really good. The Dan Rather movie with Cate Blanchett. It's another fantastic performance for her.
Mm-hmm. Heard that, yeah.
Trumbo felt like an HBO movie.
Yeah.
It was okay.
How was Cranston?
But Cranston's excellent.
Okay.
Like, that movie wouldn't work without him
anchoring it. I just want Cranston in everything.
Eye in the Sky was okay. That's a drone thriller with Helen Mirren and Aaron Paul. It was much better than Good Kill, the Ethan Hawke movie from last year.
That's right.
But honestly, the standout for me was Barkhad Abdi.
What's that?
The guy from I'm the Captain Now.
Okay. Oh,
Captain
Phillips. Captain Phillips.
Like,
he's great.
He's a guy who, after Captain Phillips, he got the Oscar nomination, but everyone's like, well, is he really going to have a career?
Yeah.
And he was the standout in Eye in the Sky, I thought, you know, up against Helen Mirren.
There you go.
The Oscar. So,
right on.
Desierto pitted Gael Garcia Bernal against Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who plays like this guy.
Mm.
He's like a proficient with a rifle. He sees a group of Mexicans crossing into the border, illegally.
Okay.
He starts picking them off one by one.
Ooh.
And it, you know, so it's like a cat and mouse kind of movie in the desert, directed by Alfonso Cuarón's son.
Oh, Cuarón's son.
Jonas.
Oh boy. Okay, I'm in.
Our Brand is Crisis, we talked about.
Yeah. Somebody was saying
High
Rise. Was that there?
Hated High Rise.
Okay.
Walked out on High Rise. Got
Sorry.
Some shit for walking out on High Rise. But again, it's not my responsibility to suffer through shitty movies at film festivals. You know, like my time is precious. It was running up against the Midnight movie. Again, I watched all of High Rise except for the last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was pure fucking torture. I hated every second of it.
Sorry, Jeremy Flores. that there's the very frank opinion.
And the other terrible movie was the Lance Armstrong movie.
Oh, Ben Foster. Yeah,
that was real bad.
Not good, huh?
Nope.
The trailer looked interesting.
Great
to me.
Trailer. Yeah. Amazed they can even make a trailer
really?
That good based on that movie. But well, man, Stephen Frears. You did not. There's the Queen Stephen Frears, and there's Lay the Favorite Stephen Frears, and this one's Lay the Favorite.
Okay. Well, I have to catch up
on
all
Toronto
these movies.
For the most part, you know.
I know. So kind of closing out here. This weekend we got Sicario, Black Mass, and The Maze Runner: Scorch Trials.
Sicario is so good, Mark.
I am seeing Sicario tonight.
Ugh.
My colleague who wrote a review for with Schmoes No liked it. Yeah, I'm hearing
fantastic.
I'm hearing Benicio is just amazing.
And if it's, I don't know if it's going wide or if it's like a platform release.
But yeah, it goes wide October 2nd.
Okay, great. Then you still have some a few weeks. Watch Narcos on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It almost plays like a prequel.
Really?
To Sicario, in a sense. Thematically, yeah. At least. And, I mean, you should be watching Narcos anyways if you haven't seen that on Netflix.
Yeah, and the publicist behind it, she's doing a giveaway with Schmoes No. You guys check out schmoesno.com. We're going to get something for Sicario. They're very excited. They're very excited about people seeing it. So we're going to have something special to give away on schmoesno.com.
And check out Black Mass, just because I'm curious what the reaction will be.
I got to see that, too. I want to see it.
As far as Maze Runner goes, sorry. You're on your own there, folks. I didn't like your.
I'm not going to Maze Runner. I'm just kind of just don't shoot the messenger. I'm just saying it's out there.
Sure.
So, all right. That's Meet the Movie Press for Friday. Jeff, thanks for
this is our last show here at this location.
Yeah, we are moving studios. Don't worry.
Moving
it won't
on
affect
up in
you
the
guys.
World. We're getting studio promotion.
That's right. And as always, thanks, guys, for tuning in every Friday on YouTube. It's youtube.com/popcorntalknetwork or popcorntalknetwork.com. And as always, guys, rate, subscribe on iTunes. Like I said, it keeps you know what it did? It got us a new studio. So the spaceship is getting
right.
an upgrade.
We're moving on up to the west side, the east side. I don't know where we're going, but I think it's just down the street.
Down the street. So, Jeff, where can they find you, as always?
At the Insnyder on Twitter. You can find my musings on therap.com.
Yes.
And
right on.
Go Pats.
Go. Oh, boy. And as always, you can find me at Riley Around and on schmoesno.com. And soon, there's going to be a big announcement with schmoesno.com and what I'm doing, and I'm very excited
man.
For that.
The Schmoesno movie.
Yeah, the Schmoesno.
Just get me a walk-on role, Mark.
The Schmoesno movie, no, they're still negotiating my contract with
that. I was
going to
say, the Schmoes probably won't have me and my MBA on Team Scoop.
I know.
We'll get shut out again of everything.
I wish they had you on.
The fucking fantasy football league for these guys.
I know.
I'm out.
Well, thanks, guys. We will see you next week. See ya.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.